Podcasts and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A global trade war is shaping up. Canada and Europe have responded to President Trump's tariffs. Europe is targeting products made mainly in Republican-led states. Kelly O'Grady of Money Watch.
Really going to hit businesses the most. The Harley Davidsons, the jeans, those are businesses wanting to sell products into European countries.
The latest inflation report shows it's dropped slightly. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
These numbers don't account for any impact from tariffs. But, of course, those tariffs have not really been in place long enough to see the prices of many goods start to rise.
Government lawyers asked a federal judge in New York today to move the case of a detained Columbia University student. Mahmoud Khalil is facing possible deportation over pro-Palestinian protests. Attorney Bahar Azmi.
Mr. Khalil's detention has nothing to do with security. It is only about repression.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I'll be playing songs about going fast. Don't blink, you might miss it. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The federal government will stop helping states build an EV charging infrastructure if a Wisconsin congressman has his way. Lisa Hale has more.
U.S. Congressman Tony Weed wants to roll back a program that helps pay for electric vehicle charging stations. Weed wants to repeal the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Federal Program, saying money is wasted building new EV stations. The Wisconsin DOT has been given $78 million to build the charging stations here, but $63 million of that is now at risk. Weed is supporting legislation called the Unplug EV Charging Stations Program Act. It might be worth noting that Weed, who represents the 8th Congressional District, used to own a chain of gas stations called Dino Stop throughout Northeast Wisconsin.
Nominations are open for Wisconsin's Best Burger Contest. Brittany Merlot tells us more.
Pickles Bar and Grill in Hazelhurst won last year, and they saw a 530% increase in burger sales from April to June after they were announced in the top eight. So you have until March 21st to nominate your favorite burger from any Wisconsin restaurant. You get one nomination per person on the Wisconsin Beef Council's website. And the grand winner will be announced on May 1st to kick off May Beef Month.
With more than 500 suggestions for naming the newest park in Wood County, a new title is decided. The formerly known Sarah Park will now be Wood County Sarah Park. Keeping the original name in the new designation serves several purposes. It honors all the former mill workers in central Wisconsin who volunteered their time planning, developing, and maintaining the park since the early 1970s. It also allows Wood County to show its appreciation to the current Sarah Park Board of Directors for their generous donation to the residents of Wood County. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks lose at the buzzer. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had the lead, but Oshkosh native Tyrese Haliburton with a spectacular three-point shot, then draws a foul, gave the Pacers a 115-114 win over Milwaukee. Doc Rivers.
That's on us and toward our staff. You know, we got to have our guys prepared better for that. You can see us screaming before the play. We're already off the bodies, so we're in trouble before the play started.
The Bucks have now lost three in a row. College hoops. For the second year in a row, the UW Green Bay women's team winning the Horizon League tournament. They beat Purdue Fort Wayne 77-63. The Phoenix now headed to the NCAA tournament. The Badgers men play tomorrow in the second round of the Big Ten tournament. Greg Gard says his team has put that loss at home to Penn State behind them.
So one nice thing about younger adults, they move on faster than a 50-some-year-old head coach does.
NFL cornerback Eric Stokes leaving the Packers, signing a one-year deal with the Las Vegas Raiders. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The sun won't stop. There's plenty of it today with high temperatures reaching the mid-50s and more of it tomorrow as we climb to the low 60s. Clouds start to roll in for Friday, things become breezy, and we get muggy and warm with highs reaching 70. Then at night, thunderstorms roll through. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 49.
To everyone who needs a little delight in their day, let our team member Paul tell you about one of our favorite sweet treats.
Making special moments at mealtime is a tradition in Wisconsin. And what better way to sweeten your day than Culver's creamy, fresh, frozen custard and your favorite mix-ins? We handcraft every concrete mixer exactly the way you like. From caramel and candy to real fruits and whole roasted nuts.
Come to Culver's and let us make your day a little bit sweeter.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South. In Wisconsin Rapids.
Midday Magazine. Talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll discuss the Supreme Court debate and also a blood moon rising. We'll give you the details. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Up, everybody. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am your host, Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Folks, we are just weeks away from what will be one of the most impactful elections Wisconsinites will vote in, I think, in probably a decade. It is not a presidential election, ladies and gentlemen. It is our Wisconsin Supreme Court elections. Think what you may about the way that we put judges and justices on the bench here in the state of Wisconsin, but we do it by the ballot, and that means your vote matters. It matters a whole heck of a lot. These spring general elections in these off years, it's not even the off congressional election year. These sometimes tend to be low voter turnout years. Prove all of the pundits wrong. Prove to people that you are engaged, you care what happens, not just in your backyard, but all across this great state we all call home. Make sure that you've got a plan to vote, that you are registered, that you know what's going to be on your ballot. Who knows? There may be a local aldermanic election. You can find all of that information out. Remember, it's not a test. You can take in whatever materials you need to make your vote an informed and powerful one. Check out both your ballots, your registration, confirm your registration, all that good stuff at myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov. And I'm going to hit you with a second PSA, perhaps a little TMI. Should I throw any more acronyms at you? My second public service announcement today is thank you all for your participation and patience. I had to get a little medical procedure done over the last couple of days. And to destigmatize this, folks, I am in my mid to late 40s. You can guess what the exact number is. I won't be sharing it today. Go get your colonoscopies. Colon cancer has been a big killer in my family. It may seem like a drag, but what is 36 hours if it gives you the rest of your life? Please talk to your primary care physicians. Get your colonoscopies. You deserve better health. So please, please, please do that. With all of that as prequel, it is Wednesday. It is the top of the show. And that means it is time for my great friend, Gray Gunderson, to be joining me. Welcome back, Gray. We're doing a little bit more of what's happening in your neck of the woods. How you been this past week?
Doing well, doing well. It's been a whirlwind of a week and a whirlwind of an intro to match, I must say. How do I match a lead-in like that one? I actually really do appreciate it, though, affected in my own family. So to destigmatize that is something that I really, truly appreciate. It's the human body. Hey, the one thing that we're all guaranteed to have, the human body. Yep. So let's it's normal. Let's normalize it.
Take care of your piping. That's all I'm saying. Take care of it. Get it checked out. It's part of your insurance-provided preventative care. get it checked out. Thanks so much for joining me, Gray. I got a little joke for you, little riddle, if you will, that has a little bit of, what shall I say, sarcasm to it. I'm going to list for you, my friend Gray, a set of characteristics of descriptors, and I would like you to tell me the event that I'm talking about.
All right.
I often call this stump my friends time. So I'm going to hit you and all of our fabulous listeners with this. Folks, as we get into the conversation this afternoon, if you want to join this great conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. But the easiest way is if you download the Civic Media app for free. Here is my riddle, Gray. What activity involves all of the following? Complex storylines, makeup, thigh-high boots, tights worn by men, big hair, fabulous costumes, and a lot of preening about. Do you know what this activity is, Gray?
Watching Marvel movies. I'm pretty confident.
Also, ooh, I love it. I am gaining more potential responses to this question. Marvel movies, I do think they would definitely count. Complex storylines in those comic book action heroes.
I'm happy with my answer.
I'm gonna give that a B, a partial credit. Okay. I sometimes get drag shows, which also I think that gets a B. But the thing I'm going for, Gray, is wrestling, my friend, professional wrestling. It is an activity that includes all of the above, and it is one of the major spectator sports in the United States. And Grace, I understand it. You've got a special Civic Media colleague joining us who is quite an expert on the professional wrestling.
In fact, I do. I was happy to be able to welcome today none other than Rich LoCascio, a local sales manager of our Big Deals operation up there, or down there, I should say. I'm far north of you guys. Rich is down there with WRJN in Racine. Rich, thank you so much for hopping on today.
Absolutely, Gray. Thank you for having me. And it looks awfully cold up there wherever you are.
You know, actually, I will say, never take what I'm wearing as the yardstick for weather in the area. It's actually more beautiful today than it has been in months. I think we're somewhere around 45 degrees. But
Same.
This room that I'm in is I don't have enough space heaters in here, I'm afraid. So we layer up instead. But Rich, no, actually, you've been one of my counterparts for a while here. I'm a little less of a salesperson than when we originally both started at Civic around the same time. But come to find out, as you and I have been working alongside each other and sharing two meetings a week, that you don't turn off the richness after work. You've got a lot going on outside of Civic responsibilities. Can you tell me a little bit just about the basics of wrestling for Rich LoCascio in Racine? Because to some people, they don't know that there's wrestling in Racine. So maybe break the news.
So not just in Racine, but also Milwaukee, West Dallas. I've done shows in West Bend. Last year, I had the great experience being part of the Midwest Gaming Classic at the Baird Center a couple of days down there. And thousands of people walking around, purchasing stuff in the vendor hall, and Brew City Wrestling was there. I got a chance to be a part of four shows over the course of 2 days. It was so much fun and just so much excitement. It's like, it's one of the last things you expect to happen there. It's like, okay, I'm focused on games, board games, video games, D&D. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, what's going on there in the back corner? It's professional wrestling. Brew City Wrestling was there, and I got a chance to be the ring announcer for all of those shows. It was so much fun.
There it is. I was actually wondering, Rich, if you would mention specifically what your role was, because until you said ring announcer, I think everybody was envisioning you on the top rope about to throw down Maggie. Was that you thinking?
It was my question. I was like, Rich, my friend, are you putting on the little bundies and jumping off the top rope? Because that might be worth a ticket purchase. You are a ring announcer, sir.
Yes.
Am I understanding that? So do you have to prep to be a pro wrestling ring announcer? Like, do you have to be in on the, no one yell at me if I butcher this term, the kayfabe?
So
you have to know what the storylines and everything are?
You have to have an understanding of the business. And really, it is a business, but it's also a form of entertainment as well. So before I became a ring announcer, I was a wrestling fan for over 20 years. And just watching it on TV, and like sometimes it's not just that. And then when you get the chance to meet people who have done this for a very, very long time, great point. Scott Wisniewski, my mentor, who I worked with at an office building in Bayview, he and I got together. One of my good friends, Lane Boyle, is also a professional wrestler here in southeastern Wisconsin. So we got together, and it just by happenstance, there was an opening for a ring announcer for a charity show in West Bend. And they're like, oh, well, Rich can do it. I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean I can do it? Like, you know, it, you can do it. You got the voice for it. Like,
you were voluntold.
I was voluntold. Yes, exactly. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Like, I've never done this before. Oh, it's not that hard. Well, you know, and, you know, am I qualified to do this? Well, we'll put in a good word for you. So I got the gig. I did the charity show. It was a lot of fun. As you can probably imagine, I was exhausted after the show was over. But it was a lot of fun. And to answer your question, Maggie, as far as like getting in the ring and competing, I'm not allowed to do that. I'm just not allowed to do that. Probably not a good idea that I do that. And quite frankly, I don't have the formal training to do that simply because of the fact that there are wrestling schools out there. Great example, the show that I did this past Friday in West Dallas, House of Headlocks. That is a professional wrestling training school. It's based out of Butler. And these guys are putting in the work. They're doing promo school. They're doing, you know, they're taking bumps in the ring. They're getting it done the right way. These people that train them have been doing this for years upon years. So they have the quality tutelage that they need to be successful in the ring.
To me, and again, I love talking to both of you about this and our fair listeners. If you've got some wrestling stories, you want to share some great wrestling shows that you may have seen across the state of Wisconsin, 855-752-4842. Dave piping in from New Berlin, calling it the only true sport that's left. Hey, Dave, glad to hear from you. One of the things, you know, as someone who spent some time in theater and then in the combat ring, also known as a courtroom, and as an old has-been college athlete, the thing in my head that came together about this was it is you learn very early on in rugby, like how to get hurt correctly. And I'm putting air quotes around that. If you're watching us on Civic Media's YouTube channel or at Maggie Dawn Show on X, Instagram and Facebook, you learn like if somebody's going to tackle me or I'm getting hit in this particular way, like how to let your body rebound from those things without getting hurt. But when I look at wrestling, though I don't know a lot about it, it seemed to me like this fabulous combination of athleticism, theater, and the art of finely honed dramatic combat that we often have going on in courtrooms, right? And so I thought, wow, these people are really getting it done. It calls on a ton of skill sets and a lot of athleticism. I know my orthopedist would not be happy to know if I picked up that as a new hobby.
I don't think any orthopedist is a fan of wrestling on principle. I bet some of them probably want to be, but just, you know what? I don't think that's one of those things that you can no longer enjoy once you found your profession. Kind of like radio is not the same to me anymore. Just can't be anymore. You've seen the background.
Yeah, looking behind the curtain, everything has its ugly underbelly. Folks, if you're just joining us, my name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to this, the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is top of the hour on Wednesday. That means it is time for your neck of the woods with my good friend, Greg Gunderson from WCQM in Park Falls. We got a special Civic Media guest, Rich LoCascio, professional wrestling announcer extraordinaire out of WRJN. We're going to come back with more of this fabulous conversation. Join us, 855-752-4842. Do you have a favorite professional wrestler? Do I even know any professional wrestlers? We discuss next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Aw, look at that, a robin. Oh, there's a bunny. Hey, is that a little fox running around? Ah, white-tailed buck and a gray squirrel. Wait a second, why are all the critters in the neighbor's yard? None of them are coming on our property. Oh, wait, there's a skunk. Oh, I get it, they smell that stinky skunk. Wait, the skunk has a sign. We are boycotting your yard, it reeks like raw sewage? Call Crockett Septic, 715-712-3456. Honey, you better bring me the phone. We need to call Crockett Septic.
Crockett
tank septic serves you near or far. Holden Tank Septic's pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Yeehaw! I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C., and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
A big noise playing in the street. Gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place. Singing, we will rock you. We
like to keep it rocking right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I've got with me my colleague from WCQM Park Falls, Greg Gunderson. He joins me every Wednesday for the top of the show's first half hour for a little segment we like to call In Your Neck of the Woods. We got one of our fine Civic Media colleagues with us today talking about pro wrestling. It's Rich LoCascio coming to us from WRJN in Racine. Before we get back to wrestling, Rich,
yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Gray, I heard that you may have a wee bit of a new job title.
Well, that may in fact be true. As of this week, I've moved, like I mentioned earlier when we introduced Rich, Rich and I have spent a lot of time rubbing elbows in sales meetings. Technically, I've been a salesperson here at Civic Media, but there's been some rumbling, some shifting, and my begging was finally catered to. I am now a full-time announcer here at Civic Media. Moved away from sales activities, though I still work with a couple of our clients. My primary responsibility is now making content, which has been a passion, a goal of mine for a long time, and being close in sales was a thing, and now it's no longer a thing. I'm doing, and when you get what you want, holy cow, you get busy. That's wow, holy cow, this week has been a whirlwind for it.
Careful what you wish for. Well, yeah. Welcome to the pure content creation side of the aisle here, Gray. Really happy to have our sales colleague, Rich, with us. I dropped a term of art, if you will, in the last segment, Rich, that I had never heard until about 3 years ago.
Sure.
That is thrown around to describe pro wrestling, and it's kayfabe,
yes.
If I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Yep.
Can you tell people, am I pronouncing it correctly, first of all, and tell people what this is?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm actually impressed that you know the term kayfabe. And basically, it's preserving the, I don't want to say preserving the illusion, but preserving the sanctity of professional wrestling and the fact that good guys stay with good guys, bad guys stay with bad guys. Like, it's part of the show. It's part of the act, and they live it out. I'm not saying that they have to be a garbage man, or they have to, or the Undertaker has to be a mortician or anything like that. But, you know, bad guys should act like bad guys. A great example of that in All Elite Wrestling would be Maxwell Jacob Friedman, who he's just a very abrasive personality. He's like that in and out of the ring, in front of the camera, behind the camera. That's just his personality.
I had to Google the term myself. I hadn't encountered it before I saw it in the notes here. And in Googling it, I think I can add a little bit of perspective for the ignorant here. The kayfabe, I mean, when you Google kayfabe and you read an example of it, it's basically the relationship between the fans and the performers who all know what's really going on, but also the understanding that what's really going on doesn't matter. It's what we're enjoying, what's fun about this. And really, when I was reading about kayfabe, it's the same relationship that any moviegoer has Correct. With the stars of the movie.
Yeah.
It's just Correct. That there's this different expectation because the wrestling is happening without a camera to separate us between the action. So people automatically, it's almost like some decorum is lost. And all of a sudden we're just like, oh, you believe? Well, do you believe that that Leo DiCaprio actually sank into the ocean there at the end of like what? Leo DiCaprio is still alive walking around. You didn't hold him accountable for him sinking into the cold ocean. So it's kind of the same thing. There's a separation
part,
between
right.
it.
There is a part of every form of storytelling, and professional wrestling is a form of storytelling.
Yes.
That involves the suspension of disbelief. And I've always been, anytime people have an incredibly acute reaction to something in the negative column, which I've, many female friends of mine, professional wrestling, what's real with that? And they're all ticked off about it. I always think to myself, like, why the vitriol? Like, why so mad, friend? And because to me, I've always viewed it as this, again, hyper-athletic, And kind of, I don't want to use the word simplified because it's not. The plot lines are intricate and complicated. I can't get into it because I don't have time to figure it all out and get why this person's mad at this person or characters are mad at each other. But it does follow this basic form of good guys and bad guys. And when you get into it, you understand the rules of this world, right? And I think sometimes... and that's why the word simple isn't the right one, because the plot line's, again, super complicated. But in this very crazy, very stressful world that we live in, this, again, suspension of disbelief, this unreality that also offers us a basic sort of psychologically appealing good versus evil approach to the world is so deeply appealing to a lot of folks. Now, as a female, I will say this. I am glad to see that professional wrestling has gotten to a place where, like, female athleticism and female characters have developed beyond the sort of sex pot version of women in athletic. That is a positive progression. And certainly there have been very complex and somewhat negative images of women, or overly simplified, overly sexualized images of women. Professional wrestling, to the extent that it's playing on stereotypes and these oversimplified versions of the universe or worldviews, that is part of the theater that you see in wrestling. Rich, do you have any events coming up? Where can people find your announcing skills?
Yes, I will be at the Buena Vista Banquet Hall this coming Friday night for Legacy Pro Wrestling's March into Madness show. Bell time is at 7:30. Doors open at 7 p.m. So some great goings on there. House of Headlocks, who I mentioned earlier, their next show is at their training school in Butler. That's coming up on Saturday, April 5th. Doors open at 7, bell time 7:30. All the information can be found out on Facebook for House of Headlocks and also Legacy Pro Wrestling. So, Maggie, always a pleasure to be around you and work with you. And thank you for having me on your show. I really do appreciate it.
What fun, Reg. The next time there's some big hubbub in the world of professional wrestling, you know, like maybe when an executive becomes a cabinet secretary for a department that they want to dismantle because, you know, running the world's largest professional wrestling organization certainly qualifies one to run the entire Federal Department of Education. I don't know, something totally random and crazy like that, that sounds like a plot line where there's good and evil in the world. Maybe we should have you back and have a little chat about that.
Sure, why not?
Rich, I forgot to warn you, Maggie gets political now and again.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
Every once in a while. Gentlemen, my thanks to you, Greg Gunderson. Congrats on your new role officially in the content creation seat, exclusively up there at CQM Perk Falls. My thanks to you, salesman extraordinaire for our large accounts. You can always hit up Rich. Just give WRJN a call. When we come back, I've got Jeremy Janine joining me.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
So do farms or nonprofits that have been left in the lurch with unfulfilled contracts from the U.S. Department of Agriculture have any options? I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. Yes, they do. That's the short answer from Rachel Armstrong. She's an attorney with Farm Commons. Today, she is holding a special virtual seminar to try to give some pointers to farms and nonprofits that are holding contracts with the U.S. Department of Agriculture that have not been financially fulfilled. She said the process is fairly straightforward. Her first suggestion, call the USDA office where the contract originated and try to find out what's going on. She says it's very important that you get these details and responses in writing. And once you've gotten the answer, maybe it's time for an appeal.
That sounds very heavy. We know that that's a legal word, but USDA has something called the National Appeals Division, which is a fairly straightforward process to start an appeal. And it really does involve writing a letter saying, I want to appeal this decision. And the decision can be that you didn't pay my invoice. You know, you clearly seem to have decided not to pay my invoice because nothing has happened. You've, you know, decided not to reimburse me, and I'm going to appeal that process.
Rachel Armstrong, an attorney with Farm Commons. She said they've received a lot of calls from farms and nonprofits trying to figure out what to do next. They've got great resources that they're always updating on their website, farmcommons.org.
Steffens Group has been in the business of marketing farm construction, transportation equipment, and farm real estate at public auction for over 60 years. With locations across the Midwest and Rocky Mountain region, our team is readily equipped to handle any of your auction needs. Sell with confidence, knowing that our team of professionals prioritizes honesty, integrity, and outstanding service. Visit steffensgroup.com to find a representative near you and discuss your options for selling with Steffens today. steffensgroup.com, S-T-E-F-F-E-S, group.com.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
And while there might be challenges with USDA grants, the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection has announced that 9 projects have received approval for $800,000 in funding to optimize nitrogen use in farm fields. All the details available now at MidwestFarmReport.com. That's just a quick snapshot on food news for now. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The sun won't stop. There's plenty of it today with high temperatures reaching the mid-50s and more of it tomorrow as we climb to the low 60s. Clouds start to roll in for Friday. Things become breezy and we get muggy and warm with highs reaching 70. Then at night, thunderstorms roll through. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 49.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit outdoorstewards.org.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, we'll talk to State Senator Melissa Ratcliffe, as well as a legislator from the State Assembly, to get our state capitol update on what's happening in the legislature.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to my colleague Greg Gunderson out of WCQM Park Falls and my colleague Rich Lacazio out of WRJN for a lot of fun talking pro wrestling, our last segment. But now it is time to get to the news because we're all about real news and great conversation here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a fine guest with me this afternoon. His name is Jeremy Janine, creator of Urban Milwaukee, journalist extraordinaire. And I am going to make a plug here, a panelist with me for an event that is occurring this afternoon. One MKE is presenting an event called Your Ballot, Your Future, a voter's guide to the 2025 Wisconsin elections. That event, which is free to attend, is happening tonight at MATC's downtown campus. There's a great lineup of speakers, of course, including Jeremy and myself. There are vendors, art activities. There's going to be food, all kinds of cool panels all about Wisconsin's spring election coming up on April 1st. Please, if you don't have any plans, you want to see me and Jeremy do our thing live and in living color in three dimensions, if you will, then come on down. That event starts tonight at 5 p.m. This is at MATC's downtown campus. Just Google 1MKE MATC. You'll find the event. You can RSVP there. Please check it out. I have also posted the event to my LinkedIn feed, which is under Margaret Dawn, because that's my biz name when I'm not on the radio. You can check it out there. Jeremy, you have got some breaking news for us. Do tell.
Yeah, we're not even to the point of being hot off the press because the article is still being edited, but we can preview it here first for Civic Media listeners. So perfect timing. Big news out of the United States Department of Transportation, something that we've seen coming from the minute Donald Trump was elected, but we haven't understood the how of how they're going to do it. I'm going to read to you this memo, just a key line from it to give you a sense of what's happening here. And this is a review to cut or rescind several grants, which includes up to $80 million in Milwaukee. And I just real quickly, while we were at break, identified at least $30 million of other grants in Wisconsin. I'm sure there's more. But quoting from the memo, an internal memo in the United States Department of Transportation, the focus of this review is to identify project scope and activities that are allocating funding to advance climate, equity, and other priorities counter to the administration's executive orders. Well, what might climate and equity mean? It turns out that means things like bike lanes. It might mean things like racial equity. So that could be justification for putting projects in impoverished areas. And just to give you an example of what these projects are in Milwaukee, then we can talk a bit more statewide. In Milwaukee, it means a project, $15 million federal grant to rebuild Villard Avenue in Old North Milwaukee, $25 million to rebuild National Avenue, essentially from the lake the entire way to the city's border with West Milwaukee and West Allis, $15 million to rebuild or to build an electric vehicle charging network across the entire city, actually even a little bit outside of the city with the idea of adopting more electric vehicles. And then $25 million to rebuild Center Street through the heart of the city. And then
Go ahead, please.
I was going to say the grants outside of Milwaukee that I was quickly able to identify that are subject to this review. There's a grant to Kenosha in 2023, came at the same cycle that Milwaukee won this Villard Avenue grant. And it is to build a bike trail connection, notably a bridge. And then in January, the Menominee Nation in Menominee County got $25 million to rebuild 40 miles of roadway. And additionally, Milwaukee County, and this goes back to your time with Milwaukee County, I'm sure you were involved in this, got a grant of several million dollars to put up barriers on the highway in Milwaukee County's northwest side, sound barriers.
I'm almost in a way rendered speechless, Jeremy, because literally, it seems that the projects are being pulled if they happen to have anything to do with Democratic-leaning counties or black and brown neighborhoods. Like, it's not about, oh, this is some sort of DEI equity unfairness. But no, it's like, if it has anything to do with a predominantly black or brown neighborhood, we're going to cut it. And if it has anything to do other than encouraging more people to get in their single person vehicles and drive a long distance on a federally funded highway to commute many miles to go to their jobs, then it's bad. Is there any explanation other than whatever they decide on today, Wednesday, is, quote, equity or related to climate, which most conservatives, at least by my estimation, fail to be able to actually articulate in any meaningful or consistent manner? I don't get it. Is my understanding that this seems to be very targeted at black and brown communities and Democratic leaning counties, or am I missing something here?
I think even if explicitly that wasn't your goal, the implicit reality of what happens is certainly that it's going to impact majority-minority communities. And then one thing I should hit on with these grants, they're trying to claw back this money, but when we look at like the National Avenue Project, $25 million is part of this, I think it's a 40-some million dollar project now. That money isn't all to build protective bike lanes. It's not all to make it safer to pedestrians. The bread and butter, the most expensive part of that project, is rebuilding the roadway people drive on. And now it'll be really interesting to see how much of that money they take back.
This is another way to put this, if I can be so blunt, is these are basic infrastructure improvements or maintenance expenditures that have been breaking the budgets of local governments across this state because, frankly, we have a shared revenue formula in the state where local governments don't actually get to retain the income taxes or property taxes that are generated out of their jurisdiction. And we've got this antiquated formula, which was recently updated, but not enough updated. I could go on about shared revenue, but the reality is these are expenses that are borne nearly exclusively by local governments. And absent federal grant funding like this, local governments, whether you're in a rural area and it's coming through your county or in some of our more populated areas in the state, this sort of approach to infrastructure improvement and maintenance spending, to me, is gosh darn frightening. Like Menominee County wouldn't put that on the list of counties to get hit by the Trump administration. Oh, except it involves Native Americans and First Nation peoples. So I guess that means it's on the chopping block. What is the organizing principle, if you can discern one, Jeremy, about who gets the money and who doesn't? It seems to be extremely, extremely biased.
From the moment Sean Duffy was announced as the United States Department of Transportation Secretary, it was clear two things mattered. Airplane passengers, and we can have a whole other segment about how that's unfortunately gone. And then thing two was people driving alone in cars. And so those are the two things that get a pass with these grants. Those areas aren't subject to review, but everything else goes into this bucket of equity, Green New Deal, buzzword of the week, define it how you want it. We're now going to review it and possibly rescind it.
Folks, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I've got with me for a segment every Wednesday at 2:30 that we call Milwaukee as a microcosm, because as goes Milwaukee, so goes the state. His name is Jeremy Janine, creator of Urban Milwaukee and a journalist. We're talking about some breaking news. The Trump Department of Administration looking to target upwards of $110 million in grant funding earmarked for local governments and county governments across the state, not just in southeastern Wisconsin, but across the state, that is going to make it more difficult for local governments to make the infrastructure investments that are essential to help get people to work every day, to help, frankly, have attractive environments to bring businesses in or to keep businesses in these jurisdictions. Really a shocking development that I love it how the answer to equity, if they don't like it, is discrimination. Like, oh, if it has anything to do with black and brown people, then that's bad. I mean, I forget when a lot of folks voted for Trump that they were voting for like more racial discrimination. We want more of that. I didn't remember hearing that. If you would like to join our conversation, 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Civic. I'm going to tamp my hair back down. It's a little bit on fire, Jeremy. So now, having put out my smoldering hair on fire because of that bit of breaking news, first, before I move on to your next bit that we're going to cover here, please tell people where they can find this reporting from you and Urban Milwaukee to read more about these cuts.
You can find that story, which will be published shortly, and everything else at urbanmilwaukee.com.
Again, that's urbanmilwaukee.com. Again, my commentary here, not Jeremy's, of course, A. And B, I again want to say this. What Urban Milwaukee provides to southeastern Wisconsin, because you cover really Milwaukee County and touch upon our collar counties, the wild counties as well, Racine and Kenosha counties, it is really what I think every local community deserves from local journalists, and that is an understanding of local government that's displayed in your coverage every day that provides people an insight into whether or not their local government is actually working for them well, efficiently, and effectively. So thank you for your continued work. Jeremy, what else is top of mind today from your work at Urban Milwaukee?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have a dream of good news to follow that up with. We can talk more about what we talked about last week, as the issue has continued to move lead inside schools, and that is 10 more schools, 10 more Milwaukee public schools will be subject to investigations just because of their age, potential concerns about lead hazards. And we know that at least four schools have played roles in poisoning children.
So, Jeremy, we were talking last week about the fact that some of these issues involving lead in old public school buildings seem to be caused by remediation rules that weren't being followed carefully, and that administrators were tipped off because kids were popping positive lead blood tests in their annual reviews. How were these next set of schools identified, and what's being done?
The health department held the Milwaukee Health Department held a press conference Friday, and they haven't given us the list of these schools yet. And the reason why, so they say, I think it's a fair reason that they want to notify the parents first. It's now been half a week later. I'm hoping we get this list of schools soon. But the reason they were identified is, one, their age. Any building built before 1978 is going to be subject to lead paint. That's when it was phased out on a national level. But that's most of it, Milwaukee Public Schools. That's probably most public schools in the entire state. This list came from what the health department identified as its priorities and what the school system identified as its priorities. And I'm quoting from the health commissioner now. It's a pretty basic measure, but that helps us prioritize the schools and then marry that with what the district is looking at as well. And I say this because one of the schools they investigated already on the city's near west side had no lead hazards found, that all the proper practices had been followed. Anywhere there was lead paint, it had been covered. But these are schools that both sides have flagged that, hey, we should do some looking.
Folks, that is Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee. Had a little bit of breakup there just towards the end of your statement. Jeremy, here is my question. We've got just about a minute left or so. I asked last week, why aren't they just testing all of the schools, especially if it seemed that some of the evaluations were coming up with like, no, we don't have a problem here, and yet there's a problem there. Have they changed their approach to how they're looking at these schools? Obviously, those built before 1978 or with paint that was used that was pre-1978. What's the approach to make sure more Milwaukee kids aren't at risk than already known?
But I want to talk about two key things there. One, something I said last week I should expand on, that I talked about there's kind of a surveillance system built into schools that kids are supposed to be getting tested for lead poisoning, but that only extends until you're age six. Well, anyone that's got a kid in elementary schools knows that that doesn't extend to everyone. So the health department is now offering clinics. So that's a key thing going forward. The other thing is the cost.
We're gonna hold it right there. We're gonna repeat that first thing in case you've got a kid in the MPS system, so you can ensure your child's safety. We're gonna repeat the process that they're using to identify problems in MPS schools with lead. Don't forget, this could be going on in your neck of the woods as well, an issue in older public schools. We come back with Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Night,
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Nevada Senate Bill 406 made it a felony to harass or intimidate election workers. In a federal appeals court March 7th, four right-wing activists claimed that the law is too vague and could allow them to be unfairly intimidated against participating in the election process. SB 406, signed by Republican Governor Joe Lombardo in May 2023, was unanimously passed in both houses of the legislature after threats to Nevada election workers following the 2020 and 2022 elections. Under the new law, individuals who intend to interfere with the conduct of an election or retaliate against election officials could face up to 4 years in prison. It also protects election workers from doxing, disseminating their personal information. The Reno Gazette Journal reports that the plaintiffs used a 2020 social media post by Attorney General Aaron Ford to demonstrate that the law was too vague and itself could be viewed as intimidation. Ford's post read in part, "FYI, voter intimidation is illegal in Nevada. Believe me when I say it, you do it and you will be prosecuted," unquote. The case, dismissed in federal circuit court for lack of evidence, is backed by wealthy election denier and plaintiff Robert Beatles. Depending on the Ninth Circuit's decision, it could be challenged further in the U.S. Supreme Court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Every Wednesday at 2:30, I'm joined by Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee for a segment we call Milwaukee as Microcosm, because oftentimes the issues occurring in Milwaukee are happening in your hometown and in your area of Wisconsin. And frankly, as goes Milwaukee, so goes the state of Wisconsin. We have had quite the controversy brewing here in Milwaukee as to the Milwaukee public school system and the discovery of lead in some of the schools, whether it's coming from paint or other infrastructure throwing off lead, and young kids attending MPS schools testing positive for lead in their blood. Any level of lead in your blood is unsafe, and it is especially unsafe for children whose brains are just developing. Jeremy, before the break, you were telling folks that there are two phases or two elements of the approach, which is really a joint approach. And this is one of those interesting issues about local government that people sometimes miss. You have two agencies with separate, basically, accountability structures that are addressing this. You've got the Milwaukee Health Department that basically answers up to the legislative branch, the Common Council, and whose leadership is appointed by the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. You also have Milwaukee Public Schools that is a brand new appointed superintendent whose confirmation and hiring is pending approval by the school board, who's ultimately responsible. So you have these two different accountability structures, and you have this shared responsibility for this problem. How is the cooperative response to this issue going? Is there good cooperation, or do you kind of see right hand, left hand problems happening, Jeremy?
I see good cooperation, but I want to highlight that is I see that right now. I think that's going to be tougher going forward. So I asked about the cost, because that's going to be the driver from the health department side. Is they get about 1,200 referrals a year for kids who are testing positive for elevated blood lead levels. And then it starts these series of interventions. And these interventions are what led the health department to schools. but to actually go in and do a comprehensive test of the school. So not just looking and going, yep, that has evidence of lead paint peeling right there. If to actually test it, you're testing dozens and dozens of areas, different swabs. That costs at least $10,000 just of staff time to do the lab work. And so doing that going forward at lots of schools is going to be a problem. So when we talk about 10 more schools being tested, it's only visual assessments now. And the primary reason why is because the cost.
Whoa. So I'm going to call it eyeballing. And granted, an educated eyeballing is better than no eyeballing, but that wouldn't provide me with a ton of confidence. Jeremy, you mentioned the Milwaukee Health Department is offering free testing for MPS students. Can you tell folks more about that?
Yes. So everything I say on this, go to the health department's website, city.milwaukee.gov/health. And there's a whole section now about schools. Or call your pediatrician. They can easily, as part of any checkup, get you a blood test. It is a very simple test. I've gotten it myself years ago. I just watched my daughter get it recently. She's thankfully not testing positive for lead. But there are four clinics coming up for the general public. And they're, again, all on the health department website, Children's Wisconsin, McCann and Brown Homeless Sanctuary, and two at the 16th Street Community Health Centers. If your child is one of the children impacted or you're a staff member impacted by the four, we'll call them troubled schools, on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Bradley Tech High School, there's a special clinic just for you to get a test.
Folks, again, if your child or you are a staff member in one of the four challenged schools with this lead issue, Bradley Tech from 1 to 4 p.m. this Saturday, testing just for you. Otherwise, go to the City of Milwaukee's Health Department page. Check out the available resources if you're concerned about your child or your health if you are a staff member at an MPS school. Jeremy, we got just a little bit of time left over. Let's talk about something on the plus side. Northwestern Mutual Community Park is now open, one of the state's largest employers. Brand new, beautiful building downtown. Tell us more about the community park.
Yeah, so you might be thinking, why would I go to an insurance company to go to a park? And don't go to the insurance company. Go to the Summerfest grounds at Henry Mayer Festival Park. And right there, you will find one of the largest playgrounds you have ever seen. It's usually open only during festivals, kind of year-round, but there are a number of days, and you can go to the Summerfest website or the host organization, Milwaukee World Festival, to see the schedule. But starting earlier this week, it's going to be open lots through the fall. It is a wonderful resource. It's a great reason to come to downtown Milwaukee, come to the Third Ward, a great free thing to do right on the lakefront.
Having grown up playing on the then wood chip floored gymnasium and park things for kids at the Summerfest grounds, I'm super excited to go with my friends that have little ones and check out this park. Again, that is the new Northwestern Mutual Community Park, not at NM's headquarters in downtown Milwaukee, but rather go a little bit further east. Check out the Milwaukee World Festival, otherwise known as the Summerfest Festival grounds. You can find this enormous playground. If you need an excuse to have your little ones expend some energy running around, this is the place to do it. I also want to put a plug in. They also have a facility. I know that it's open during the festivals. I know that there are other availability dates and time. You can find that on the Summerfest or Milwaukee World Festival website. For kids that have sensitivities, whether that's touch, hearing, etc., they have basically an accessible playground as well on the World Festival grounds. Thanks so much, Jeremy, for being with us this week. I'll see you this evening at MATC.
Thank you. See you this evening.
Yeah, it'll be fun. That is Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee. If you want to see me and Jeremy in action talking about our jobs here in media, check out One Milwaukee's Your Ballot, Your Future tonight at MATC from 5 to 8 p.m. I'll be back after the top of the hour with former Lieutenant Governor and Senate candidate Bendela Barnes talking about Elon's Doge cuts happening right here in Wisconsin. The Lieutenant Governor is next. Keep it locked.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Better begins with the way we live life together, the way we help each other, and the way we inspire and encourage one another. At Aspirus Health, better begins with our dedication to providing expert care that improves lives. Establishing healthy families and healthy communities, yours and ours, for a lifetime. Life is a journey, and we're here for you. Better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is promising to keep up the pressure on trading partners, even as the Europeans announce their own retaliatory tariffs.
We have been abused really for a long time, and we will be abused no longer.
The Education Department has informed its employees that 50% of them are losing their jobs. Becky Pringle of the National Education Association disputes President Trump's claim that states should be in charge.
They don't have the capacity to do the work that the department does in the Office of Civil Rights to protect against discrimination. Sometimes they don't have the will.
With another atmospheric river, L.A. County is telling residents in the area impacted by recent wildfires to be prepared.
All communities that have been affected by fire have commenced on evacuation directions as well as warnings throughout the burn areas.
The concern being mudslides and flash floods. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.